I don't know what happened, but I have no theme song. Welcome to another edition of Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, as always, yeah. Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, Mr. Tarek Lewis. How you doing, sir? Talk to our friends here while I fix my audio problem.
I'm talking to them, man. I feel like you had a theme song. I heard the theme song coming.
It was.
I don't know why you didn't hear it.
I don't know what happened here. Mm-hmm. Having technical difficulties.
You may just be getting old, Speedy.
Yeah, I'm getting rusty. That's what happens.
Yeah, that left ear hearing is going. I understand what you come where you're coming from. Happens to me.
I don't know what happened.
Happened to me. It happened to one of the main characters on The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow, just ruin it. Ruin it.
That should be known from the video game.
Okay.
Hearing problem. It's not like it happened in this beginning of the show or anything. Like, everyone should know that at this point.
I don't know why I'm not getting no music anyway. We don't need no music, right? We're good, right? Yeah. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. I hope everyone's having had a great week or great February, should I say. We're getting to the end of February now. And yeah. We're here to talk, man, about everything dirty, everything that's going on. First off, big congratulations to Mr. Tarek Lewis. He has you have a big cameo in a Netflix show that's actually pretty popular, man. So I'm gonna let you tell everybody what it's all about because you've been living it all this time.
I'm briefly in. I'm not gonna try to pump it up like I'm a star.
Come on, baby, pump it up, baby.
And I'm not gonna do
Come
that.
Come on, baby.
But I'm in a very good television show.
Yeah.
For a moment, you got to work with some great people, some great actors that I'm hoping to see. Wouldn't mind seeing any of these guys in the comic book world. A lot of great young actors and Outer Banks on Netflix.
All right, I fixed the audio problem, Tarek.
But did you? Yeah, you got music now?
Yeah, I got music now. It's okay.
Okay,
that's freaking awesome, man. The Outer Banks, right?
Outer Banks, yes.
Yeah. I haven't watched that third season yet. I wish I could tell you I was watching that show, but I wasn't.
It's a great show, man. It's a great show. It's what I describe as somebody as a Dawson's Creek meets Heist and Last of Us.
Really?
Like National Treasure. Like National Treasure is like probably the biggest comparison with the show, but with like younger people. So
that's freaking awesome, man. Freaking awesome. Who is also here to help congratulate you is our good friend, Mr. Joey Franchise. How you doing, sir?
The Franchise.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? He's got big things that we're going to announce on the show today, too. But we just dropped Tarek's announcement of his cameo role in Outer Banks.
No, I'm super happy for it.
Yeah,
man. Thank
it's
you.
So crazy
you.
That he kept it so tight-lipped.
He did.
We're here, keeps.
Yeah, yeah. You listen, man. You don't know whether you're going to be cut out or like what's going to happen.
That's true. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, you know, and then you don't know like what you're going to tell people is going to reveal something. You know, so it's like, hey, don't say anything. You know, they got the NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements going on. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I don't want to break that.
Definitely not. You definitely.
It's really dope because the show's definitely got a lot of hype. My girl is into it, and I told her that you know, yo, my boy Tarek, I do the podcast with. He's in a new season. She's like, get the fuck out! Like,
yeah.
She's hyped. So she's hyped about that. Angel also was talking about it as well. So yeah, good shit.
That's
Tarek.
Dope.
I'm happy for you.
That's dope. Hey, I hope they bring me back. You know, hope they bring me back. You know, it'd be great to be able to come back. But it was a great experience, man.
I'm so
issues down here in the Southeast too. So all you other actors and people are like, oh, you got to be in California. Nope. Issues down here in the Southeast. Issues in Charleston, South Carolina. I booked it out of Tampa. Through my great agent, the Landry March agency, and you know, good things going.
Nice, bro.
And shout out to all my people also who a Tampa movie. Like it represented Tampa heavy. I went to the premiere this weekend.
Yeah,
Pictures of My Heart, romantic comedy.
Okay,
hopefully you'll be seeing that either on demand or in some theater somewhere.
Are you in that too?
I'm not in that. I am not in that, but I have some friends in it, and I help people audition for it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I know the director and the writer, and I know the star, and you know and the other actors. So it was a great moment, great weekend, man. To get to see my show came out, and then I got to see them in Pictures of My Heart at West Shore Theater. This Saturday with a great premiere, and hopefully that'll get distributed. And yeah, well, onward and upward.
That's freaking awesome, man. Freaking awesome, man. We're gonna seg into your cocaine bear review, Joey. But okay. First off, let everyone know about your announcement. You got a whole brand new podcast venture you got going on. So let everyone know what you're doing with that.
Yeah, you kind of see it in the background, and I've been going crazy with it on socials as of recent, launching it and making the announcement. Franchise on Film. Pretty much, you know, what I do here, just on another, you know, on a bigger scale. And we dive really deep into a lot of these, you know, Marvel updates. You know, we go into some theories, a lot of stuff that we kind of touch up on the show, but just a little bit more expanded. I appreciate, you know, you, Speedy, and Tarek for having me on this show, man, for like, it's been like a couple years now we've been doing this thing together. And it's just been really, I think I've wanted to do this for a very long time. And I think being on Geek Culture Congress, you know, weekly with you guys is, throughout this time has really gave me courage to really pursue it and really, you know, just dive in and break some fucking eggs and, you know, let's set this right. And because I think, you know, I love everything, you know, geek, you know what I mean? I'm a nerd, you know what I mean? It's probably hard to look at it because of the aesthetic, you know, my aesthetic. But I am really a nerd and it's, you know, and it's good to like talk to people. It's crazy. I was just in a club I was DJing yesterday. I had about like 3 or 4 people come up to me and was like, yo, that movie, you know, the movie review stuff you're doing and, you know, breakdowns. And like, he's like, yo, that's really dope, bro. Like, you know, and then they're having conversations with me about like Ant-Man. Yeah. And their things. And it's like, yo.
That happens to me. I'd be in the middle of the salsa club. They'd be like, yo, man, did you watch that Quantumania, bro? You really like that?
It's good to see that like guys like us, you know, guys like us like love this as much as the guys that, you know, that really do this shit. You know what I'm saying? That actually live, breathe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand it's a, you know, it's a brotherhood in the, that's in this realm. Yeah. But it's also good to know that there's other people part of that brotherhood that are into different things as well. So, you know, me with, you know, being into sneakers, being into like, being a DJ, same thing with you, Speedy.
Yes, sir.
Like, to be able to talk to people that like the things that we like and that look like us, do the things as we do, and we can have that conversation and, you know, make it translate to how we would understand it, you know? So that's what I really love about, you know, what we do here, what my mission is to do with my podcast also going forward. So, yeah, just having a voice for the people that, you know, afraid to come out as a nerd, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's okay. Being nerd is cool, man.
Bro, it's cool okay now. To be dripped up in the club. It's okay to do what you do. You know, be into your things, have your day job, whatever it is. But, bro, like, you know, we can talk that talk.
That's yo, right. Yo, nerds got money too. Like,
yeah.
IT guy got money, man. He's hot.
Yes, sir. We're staying on this on the announcement train right now. I also have an announcement for everyone who is watching this on the YouTube channel. We will be rebranding the YouTube channel only. Geek Culture Congress, as it stands, with me and Joey and Tarek and whoever else we have on the show, we decide to have on the show, that will stay. The audio podcast will stay the way it is, and we will still do this Geek Culture Congress as a segment on the YouTube channel. So we're going to change the name of the YouTube channel from Geek Culture Congress, and the Facebook page I'm going to change it as well. And my new venture is with none other than Mikey Sutton himself from geekocitymag.com.
Nerd.
Right, so I've kind of done a little partnership with him. I'm going to try and get this. My goal is to get, of course, any goal with a YouTube channel is to get it monetized eventually. So I made a deal with Mikey Sutton right now, and he's going to be giving me exclusive scoops, MCU, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, anime stuff. We're going all over the place, and the name of that show is going to be Speedy's Multiosity, okay? So I'm excited to do that with Mikey Sutton.
Like that
Geek,
one.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, right. It's actually Mikey's idea. I can't claim it. I was like, Mikey, I gotta, you know, I'm trying to do these events this weekend. You know, I'm out there gigging. I'm like, Mikey, I can't think of a name right now. I'm not creative enough right now. I'm like, I'm worrying about what salsa song to play next. You know what I mean? And he's like, oh, man, I got the name for you already. He dropped, he get that multiosity, and I think it's a great name. So we're going to be, I want to be changing the Facebook page and the YouTube page. Don't unsubscribe. You see any weird changes, okay?
Right.
Don't worry. Everything's staying the same. Geek Culture Congress will still be here. God willing, all of us here on a Monday night to talk everything nerd like we do. And it's going to be a segment of the YouTube channel and, of course, the Facebook page. And I will make a separate, podcast audio only for all those Mikey Sutton episodes. Geek Culture Congress will stay the same. The audio version of that, you don't have to unsubscribe from that. That's going to stay the same. I'm just separating the Mikey Sutton scoops because I know everyone is not into scoops and getting spoiled. So when you see that pop up,
oh,
and that's
I
not
am.
Your thing.
I love
it's
that.
All good.
I love
yeah,
that
you like yeah. Some people like to get spoiled. Like sometimes I can't just help it myself.
Yeah, Speedy, you can't. Yeah, you gotta know. Yeah, I don't tell you no secrets.
Yeah, I just need to know.
I know the shit. Yeah. I'll tell you a secret shit, not in the podcast.
So, we all got things going on, baby. We all got things going on. So it's good, positive things, positive changes. So, but stay here with us here, Geek Culture Congress. We bring all that good stuff to you, man. Today, yeah. March 1st, we get The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the first episode. Yeah, yeah. Before I get into that, let's talk about stay on the movie train because you dropped that review for Cocaine Bear. Give everyone the cliff notes. If they want to hear the full extensive review, it's up already with DJ Q help you out. The internationally known DJ Q was on the show on the review with you. And give everyone who's listening to the show the cliff notes of that. How are you feeling?
Well, it's a true story, an embellished true story, actually. Based off the 1985 drug run where, you know, cocaine was, you know, being dropped from an airplane, you know, and a bear consumes the cocaine. So the crazy thing is, what I didn't know was the guy who was throwing the cocaine from the plane, the drug runner, I didn't know he, like, actually died. In real life. So, like, this is not really a spoiler, because if you read the story about Cocaine Bear...
You mean, like, he died in that event.
He died eventually.
The
guy who was on the drug run on the plane, he was diving out the plane, and he hit his head.
Oh.
He hit his head on the exit of the of the plane and just died. His parachute didn't go off or nothing like that. It just instant dropped.
Wow.
So, I didn't know that. So, that was pretty interesting. But yeah, the bear falls into a Tennessee park. I forgot Okeechobee. But the cocaine falls in the park. Black bear consumes it, and all hell breaks loose. I will say, like, the more I keep like remembering a lot of the scenes, I gave the review a 6.5, but I have to give it a 7. I have to bump it up because like, it was just. It was very
wow.
it was,
a whole week after bump up. Wow!
It was a real like. It was a real like enjoyable movie. I was like ridiculously like entertained because I couldn't stop laughing. Like the dialogue was crazy. A lot of the shit that you see in the movie is pretty like far fetched already with the bear. But it's like when the actual characters are doing like wild shit, you're like, bro, like you're just, it was nonstop like comedy for me. But the death scenes, I said it in the review as well, like the death scenes along with the comedy, like just match so perfectly. And I think I haven't seen like, you know, like good, so weird to say it, good death scenes in movies like that.
It was a good dark comedy then.
Right. It was a very good dark comedy. I enjoyed it. Definitely go watch it. Interesting enough, it came second to Ant-Man. It almost beat Ant-Man for number one.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to talk about that.
Can we just real quick before we move away? Cast of Cocaine Bear is crazy.
Yes.
When you really think about it.
Old boy that plays Han Solo in the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
He's in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I did. I think.
Along with O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, and I forgot who else.
Ray Liotta. This is Ray Liotta's swan song.
R.I.P. And it was a good, like, it was a good swan song of a film for Ray Liotta, you know, R.I.P. Because I thought he played a good role in this movie as well. The cast was solid. I thought... Wow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, boy, who played Han Solo? I can never pronounce his last name right, so I'm not going to pull a Speedy tonight. So,
we're building bodies here. We're bodying names here. Come on, baby.
I ain't going to butcher his name. I just know he played Han Solo in the Han Solo.
I got name movie. Murder, so I'm
like, oh, yeah, bro. You on a watch list. Nah, but him and O'Shea Jackson's... chemistry in the movie was phenomenal. I thought it was awesome. And also there was a third kid in the movie also that was really good, that was like in their group, like he just got implemented in their group. I don't want to spoil too much. I don't know if you guys seen it yet. But you guys should definitely go see it. I think it's very very entertaining film.
Bear or Avatar?
Go see Cocaine Bear, dog. It's a bear on cocaine, bro.
Wait for Avatar, Disney Plus Avatar?
Wait for Avatar. I recently saw Avatar.
Yeah? Disney Plus Avatar?
Just Disney
Don't
Plus.
Don't worry. Go see Cocaine Bear. And I haven't seen Cocaine Bear yet. I'm just telling you. If you're going to go to a theater, don't go sit through Avatar. Go see Cocaine Bear.
You're anti-blue people.
I love blue people, man. I love the Smurfs. I had a Papa Smurf doll when I was a kid. You know, so you can't, that's not fair. I loved Mystique from the X-Men, you know, I was down with
What about Namor's people? What about Namor's people?
The Namor's people were cool with me, you know, I'm not going to go full Dr. Umar on y'all. Namor's people were cool with me. They're all cool. But, you know.
Shout out to Sid checking in. Cocaine Bear was epic. Better than Avatar 2. Done. You know what's
up? You know what's up?
I'm telling you, dude. Bro, it took me.
The combination of comedy and vibe was chef's kiss.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. They won me over at Cocaine and Bear. Two of my favorite things, personally.
I mean, dog, I mean, this movie is reminiscent to me like when Samuel Jackson came out with Snakes on a Plane. Yeah. Like, of course I'm a fucking see us. Samuel Jackson... fucking shit up on a plane, fucking snakes up on a plane, bro. Why would I not want to see that? Now you're telling me there's a bear fucking people up off cocaine, dog. Take my money.
All right, dope. I'm sold. I will eventually check out.
Snakes on a Plane has aged well, though. It's aged well. If you watch Snakes on a Plane now, I dare you to tell me it's not better than Passenger 57.
Oh, your camera went away. There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
So my transition now is to Cocaine Bear doing really good. Oh, hold up, we got another comment here. Sid, what up, Sid? The people in my theater Friday night for Cocaine Bear was definitely on coke. I heard people sniffing and surround sound.
Yo, the only way to do it.
Listen, I was with DJ Kool, and DJ Kool was high. Yeah. Not off cocaine though, but he was high. Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's the perfect place to be high. You're in the movie theater. You get popcorn, snacks.
He enjoyed it very, very much while high, and he gave it actually a better score than what I even the one I just gave. The one I just redid. So that just tells you a lot. Like it's a fun movie. You know, it's very fast. Gets right to the point. The reason I gave it that 7 was because there was some, you know, there was some kind of like, it weren't too long, but it was like, to me to kind of like, okay, when am I going to see the bear?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, out the gate.
You were there for the bear.
Yeah. Because out the gate, they catch you. Out the gate, the bear's already fucking shit up.
Oh.
out the gate, the Bears going ham. And, you know, then you try to build the character story, the character arcs and stuff like that. And one guy's dealing with, like, a personal issue that, like, you know, you don't really get too much backstory about until, like, you know, almost, like, a quarter through the film. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there was, like, some little downtimes where it was just like, okay, you know, is the Bear going to fuck shit up again? Like, I'm waiting for that. But then when the Bear does come back, he's, like, he's owning shit.
Wow. Yeah. like he's Freddy Krueger? He's Freddy? Yes. Freddy. He's Jasoning everybody?
Yeah. Like, all right. It was definitely money every time the Bear was on screen.
Okay. All right. Cool. Sold. I'll check it out. The Cocaine Bear is actually doing well. I think it's almost beat Quantumania, but Quantumania had a big drop off in the box office this weekend. And the question I got for you guys is there something wrong? Do you think I've been seeing a lot of different YouTube channels, like how to fix the MCU topics. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, or if I could fix the MCU, I would do it like this topics, you know, that's the theme everyone's been running with. Like there's something completely wrong with Ant-Man, but Ant-Man's not a perfect movie. The Quantumania is not a perfect movie at all, but it wasn't bad. We need more from this to say, okay, you know, Houston, we got a problem, I think. But my question to you guys is, does the MCU need any fixing? Do we need to hit the panic button now? Or are you on the boat where you're like, you know, we need more. We need to let Kevin Feige do his Kevin Feige stuff.
I think that with the threat of not being cast in any one of these upcoming films, I am going to be honest because, you know, this is what people come here for honesty and reviews and opinions. I think that a big problem is the expectations are high. Right. Like they gradually built expectations. And let's be honest, there have been some setbacks in Marvel. Like, I don't think anyone's crazy about Thor 2, or I don't think anyone's raving about Age of Ultron years later. Even people have issues with Endgame, even though it was this great, you know, moment. But I think there's peaks and valleys. And I think that Ant-Man is suffering from, like, the expectations that have been set by a string of what appear to be very great movies. So I know people I know who've said, oh, I just trust them. And, like, it's going to be good. So when people go in with expectations that, like, oh, everything's going to be good, then, you know, you can only let people down when people expect the most of you. And, you know, you can't strike the two things from each other. DC movies were bad for that same period of time. I would argue DC movies have gotten better. I wouldn't say they're on the level of the MCU, but I think Peacemaker was a success for DC. Black Adam, you know.
Weirdly, I enjoyed Peacemaker, and I see a lot of DC fans, a lot of YouTube channels like are like, oh, Peacemaker sucked, but a bunch of dick jokes, and you know,
what I mean? People, like, you can't listen to those people. Those people are Snyderists.
Like, I enjoyed Peacemaker for what it was, you know.
Yeah, you can't listen to Snyderists. Like, you can't pay attention. But Peacemaker was a decent show.
Yeah,
I think that the second Suicide Squad being decent film, and the Snyder Cut, you know, going back on what I said, Snyder Cut being, oh, this is solid. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, people are waiting for this big competition. And I think Marvel has been at the top for so long. So it's only some time. It's like LeBron. It's like the Marvel's like LeBron. Like, well, you go to the finals every year, but you don't always win. But I'm going to the finals. And it's like, yeah, but, you know,
it's art and art's subjective.
Yeah. I think that people, too, I think with the COVID situation, people are more prone to wait. Like, those first week people are like, I want to see it in the theater. Definitely. And then people wait and see, what did y'all think? And somebody says, okay, it was decent. And they're like, I'll wait for it to go to Disney Plus. because at this point, a lot of us have Disney Plus.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think it also has to do with in the United States, we're going through the highest inflation that we've seen, you know, in a long time. So that has a little bit to do with it too. I mean, sometimes it's just not going to make all the money.
I never thought you would input economics.
The economic politics, yeah, sure. Yeah,
about a man I mean, who talks to
you know, I mean, you know, if people are not making the same amount of money, it's hard for them to go to the movie theater.
I don't know, but like Joey was saying, Cocaine Bear seem to do well. Mm-hmm. And it's not as big as an intellectual property. It's not as big as an IP.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like it seemed to do pretty well. So I think that you know, to be honest, Disney Plus may dilute what people do. Listen, I paid for Woman King, not in the theaters, but I paid to rent it. The Woman King, and I love that movie. It was worth, you know,
it is a great movie.
Bit of my $5.99.
Yeah,
but then like 3 weeks later, the shit was on Netflix, and I was like, well, I could have just waited.
You could have pinched that $6, put it back in your pocket, but no.
Yeah, I could have just waited because I got. Yeah,
they're heading to streaming. They're heading to streaming services a lot.
Yeah. Yes.
But with, you know, I don't know if you need to press the panic button for Marvel. I just think Marvel is, you know, they've just started getting back all their stuff. They're getting all their shit back. They're getting all the X-Men guys back. You know, they got the Netflix characters from their, you know, that Daredevil universe they were building. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much to work with. And I think, honestly, bro, I think Kevin Feige's on the out. I think Kevin Feige's going to end up taking that Disney. I think he's going to end up taking that bigger, like, Disney exec job.
Maybe.
And I think in a lot of the way, like, these things are getting put out and, like, the certain stories that are getting put out. Like, my biggest thing is, why is Echo coming out before Daredevil?
Yeah.
Now, it probably could have been because of the Netflix stuff. It probably could have been because of the Netflix stuff. But...
I'm a little iffy on that Echo show, to be honest.
I'm super iffy on the Echo show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like a very, to me, I mean, because I feel like she was more of like a deeper cut in the Daredevil comics for like, you know, you're trying to, you know, ride the hype train from, you know, bringing a new audience from, you know, Infinity War and Endgame and Spider-Man being, you know, successful now in the MCU. So it's like, you know, you want to start hitting home run. You want to start hitting, like, you ain't got to be home runs, but you want to be getting a couple doubles, some triples, and shit like that. You want to get on base. You know what I'm saying? And then you start talking about shit that nobody really, like, is the average person isn't really too tapped in with.
You got to get some runs in.
I think you, like, for example, something like Echo shouldn't come before Daredevil. I think she should come... But like after that,
yeah.
I don't think her
character arc was built up enough in Hawkeye at all to be so interesting that okay, we need to have a show.
It wasn't even that interesting. In all due respect, because I understand that what I love about Marvel is the fact that they give representation to everyone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you got the Asian community with Shang-Chi, you got the African American community with Black Panther, Namor. For Latinos, so like there's a lot of representation. Yeah. Echo being deaf, I get it, and also disabled, I get that. I get all that, and you can do that stuff. But like, I feel like sometimes you don't need to force a character in order to, like, you know, kind of like push the meter. I mean, gradually build that character up because everybody else is probably gonna get lost and left behind if they're not really as in tune with these series as some of the people that have been tapped in with the comics for so many years.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I agree with you completely, Joey. Like, a certain point, you have to, instead of trying to expand your audience, at some point, you have to serve your audience. Like, so serve your audience first and then expand it. Like, yeah, there's no reason. Echo would be a great addition to Daredevil, to a Daredevil series, and then go on to her further thing. Because, you know, similar abilities, learning stuff, you know, the guy Stick, you know, who couldn't see, Yeah, you know, like having someone who couldn't hear, like you want to like slow roll her in. And I think that was the best thing about the first three phases of Marvel. They slow rolled people in. They didn't just give you a, if they would have given you a Black Widow movie after Iron Man 2, we'd have been like, okay, I'm in because it's Scarlett Johansson and whatever. But like, I don't know anything about this character. I don't know anything about her relationship with Hawkeye. Could like, it, why? I don't care.
Could you it know? Be this is a return to the to that slow roll you in? This Quantumania, you know?
I don't think Echo is.
I don't think Echo is. I don't know where it fits and what they're trying to do. I don't even know. Keep it G. I don't even know where.
We ain't getting out of this year.
I don't even know where She-Hulk fits.
Right, where She-Hulk fits. She-Hulk
fits in any of this. And that was the weirdest, to me, one of the weirdest shows that Marvel's put out. And it really, like, diluted Hulk's character. I get they were trying to go for a certain vibe, like some Ally McBeal shit. But like, bro, make it make sense. Like,
I don't mind breaking the fourth wall. Break the fourth wall, fine. Have fun, but like, land the plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that ending was wild. Like, they better need.
If you're gonna take me through the hurricane, you know, you better be a good pilot. You know what I'm saying?
They gotta tweak that. They gotta give a better, like, somewhere down the road, like, tweak that ending to something. Maybe she was like stuck in a different universe.
I was okay with the show till the ending.
The ending was weird.
The ending was weird. I think She-Hulk, to me, I like She-Hulk because it showed it was kind of like, hey, what's the universe? What's the world like outside of the big conflicts?
Right.
Which is a lot of stuff I liked about the Netflix shows, like, okay, this is big conflicts going on in the universe, but this is how the world is reacting to it. So I liked it for that. But them trying to put Hulk in there so much and other, like, that was to me a misstep. Like, just keep it a lawyer Ally McBeal show, and I would have been fine. Yeah. I think the same thing with Miss Marvel. Just make that a teeny Outer Banks with superpowers, like, make it that, you know, make it that. But like but they knew they wanted to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Marvels. And I think that, you know, Joey, I hate to say this, like, with the representation thing, it's like, we got to hurry up and do the representation and we'll get more people, because this is the move right now. And it's like, I am not going to say I'm not excited about the Marvels, but I probably would have liked another Captain Marvel film before the Marvels come out. And it's kind of like, here are the Marvels. And it's like, you know, like, well, we know she's Miss Marvel and you're Captain Marvel, but the other character who's from WandaVision, we didn't really get to see her. So is that going to be her origin story? What's going to be their thing? And, you know, it's kind of like, hey, it's almost like, hey, look how much we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know where Marvel's going with this. It's interesting to say that Kevin Feige is on the outs. A lot of people think that, man. That's a lot of rumors. It's like, he's not running it anymore. He's, you know, moving on or moving up. And
it's like,
who do you want? Do you need someone to run it? Because that's kind of what made it good. But I think the creators made it good. I think Ryan Coogler and Jon Favreau I'm about to call them the Wachowski brothers, but the Wachowskis, that's from the Matrix. But
the Infinity War and Endgame? Russo brothers.
Russo brothers, yeah. I think the creators made this great, and they need to bring on and give a lot of control back to the creators instead of making it like a big, okay, what are we going to do now? Yo, let the creators create. And then it'll
come together. They still need the you know, that producer coach, you know, like, all right, guys, this is the this is the plan, you know? You know, what do you guys think, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Somebody needs to, you know, kind of right this ship. I mean, I think Ant-Man, I thought Ant-Man was good. I didn't think it was, you know, as shitty as everybody's trying to make it. I just think that, like, you know, with all the mediocre, because, you know, this would be called spade. Like, Phase 4 was really just like a...
It was been.
With the exception of Shang-Chi, Wakanda Shang-Chi Forever.
Was great.
And Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, everything was mid.
I would say Shang-Chi was the first movie of that phase, right?
Yeah. No, No Way Home was.
Was No Way Home was the first
one? Yeah, I think No Way Home was, yeah.
Yeah, No Way Home.
Okay. But Shang-Chi was such... It was like that... The motivations of the character, you know, like he ran away from home, and his real dad was the Mandarin, you know, like all that backstory and everything, and the sister, and you know, like it was all very intriguing, you know what I mean? To me, yeah. You know.
So Phase 4 was WandaVision, mm-hmm. Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, the Black Widow film, What If, Shang-Chi. The Eternals, and then Hawkeye.
Okay. Yeah, even the Eternals. Like, I know some people don't like the Eternals, but even that backstory was very interesting, and I like the way it ended and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I enjoyed Eternals. It wasn't super great, you know, like, you know, but I don't dislike it. You know,
that's another group of people where I just don't know where they kind of fit in the bigger grand scale of things. I think they're going to get an explanation, but it's like. With the production schedule being set up the way it is, it's like, okay, well, where do you put it now? Yeah. Where are you going to put it? Is it going to go in between the Avenger movies?
I just hope I stay alive.
After Guardians, right? Like, it has to come with Guardians and...
I just need to keep up my cardio so I can keep my heart alive, so I can stay alive, so I can get to the end of everything.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? Because it seems like it's going to take another 10 years for them to get to the next saga or something, you know?
So next we have what? Secret Invasion is next?
Yes.
Guardians? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Loki is going to get pushed later in the summer.
Yeah, Loki's going to be summer, and Echo's going to be in the summer. And supposedly, the Marvels.
Supposedly, Mikey Sun's got, like, epic scoops for me, so about Secret Invasion and stuff like that, so I'm really excited about that. Yeah. Hopefully I get that show on the air Thursday.
They've been doing Ironheart this year, and I'm like...
Are they doing it this year? Wow.
Are we ready for Ironheart?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Ironheart got pushed, I think.
Did it? Okay.
I know they were filming it, because I did see a lot of those behind-the-scenes things with the Red Hood and stuff like that.
And I know Agatha Harkness' show got to next year.
Wow. That's a lot. Man. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say again, I am an Eternals fan. I'm a fan of that film because it was so different and so outside of the universe. That's what I want to see develop, and I'm hoping that Guardians and with the Warlock and now even Kang, that the Eternals play some part. You know, the best thing about Ant-Man, you know, no disrespect to any of the other actors or characters, it was Kang, and those possibilities. Yeah. But it feels almost as like they're holding on. It's like Muhammad Ali when he was fighting George Foreman, he did the rope-a-dope. And he got beaten to the corner until, like, Foreman tired himself out and then came out swinging at the end of rounds and, like, you know, won that fight. And I feel like they're like, you know, the Marvels and Eternals and then it's going to be like, X-Men!
Fantastic Four!
Like, Fantastic Four! New Spider-Man movie! Oh, shit!
Update, I mean, the Echo series is going to drop in October.
October, okay.
All right. I think I can survive till then.
And they said that Kingpin will be in the last four episodes. That's the rumor.
Okay.
Interesting. So we're getting that Mando. We're going back to the Star Wars stuff. Getting that Mando, March 1st. What's the hype level? How we feeling?
I'm hyped. I'm good. It's the only Star Wars piece of content that I'm ever hyped
for. I think the Mandalorian by itself is probably the best show on Disney Plus.
I agree.
Loki was interesting. Was great.
Loki season 2 hits it out the park after what we saw post credit of Ant-Man. I think that and Mando are just like right there.
I just think for all the content, Marvel, DC, Marvel, Star Wars, everything that's on Disney Plus. Sorry, I mean, did he say DC? Mandalorian season 1 and 2.
I'm gonna. If you're asking me, I'm gonna go Obi-Wan.
Yeah, you liked Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan was good.
I liked Obi-Wan. Out of all those shows, I liked Obi-Wan. Creatively, I liked WandaVision. I liked how they creatively did that whole thing. But yeah, I'm gonna go Obi-Wan. But I love The Mandalorian. I think The Mandalorian has the most potential to keep going. Like, it has all this story it can do. And then there's the culture of the Mandalorians, and I'm definitely excited for it. You know, I don't know why. Like, they make great trailers for the Mandalorian. This is some of the best trailers.
Yeah,
the trailer. That's it. I remember when Quantumania trailer dropped. Everyone was okay. We hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they do well. They do well. Probably somebody who didn't like the movie probably was really hyped up by the trailer.
I refuse to call that damn baby. I refuse to call him Grogu, though. They need just Baby Yoda. Like, they can say whatever his name is, whatever his lineage and all that. He's Baby Yoda to me. If mama call him Baby Yoda, I'm going to call him Baby Yoda. I don't know what Joey's real last name is, and I don't care. It's franchise, as far as I'm concerned.
Can we just say this is like the year of Pedro Pascal and Jonathan Majors?
Yes, yeah. It definitely is.
They are bodying it right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. I know it's not kind of on topic, but like, I saw only 2-3 reviews of Creed 3, and it just seems like he kills it in that. And the more I see and hear about it, and the more I think about how good he was as Kane, it's hard to now imagine another actor playing Kane.
Oh yeah, that's
and he's
yeah.
only done it in 2 projects, and it is hard to imagine anyone else doing that besides Jonathan Majors. And the fact that he has to play, you know, spoiler alert, 722 different Kanes.
Yeah,
is amazing. So.
Crazy thing too about the Ant-Man, like getting on the topic of Kang. So apparently, like the way Ant-Man 3 was supposed to end was Scott and Hope get trapped in the quantum realm after that fight with Kang. Mm-hmm. It was just supposed to end like that, and then Cassie's like teaming up with Hank, trying to figure out how to bring him back. And that like kind of sets up like a Young Avengers situation. But they deleted that whole... They took that whole story out just because of the way Ant-Man and Wasp... Same thing. With him getting trapped in the quantum realm. They didn't want to repeat the same
thing. Okay, yeah, I can see that. Hmm. Yeah, that's clearly... That's what I thought was going to happen as I was watching it. I was like, oh, they're going to be trapped in there.
How long was...
I thought so, too.
He was stuck in the quantum realm when the snap happened. It was 5 hours for him, and it was five years for everyone. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I was like, dang, how could he not know anywhere to go in the quantum realm? I was like, oh, yeah, it must have been a really short time for his time.
What else was it, too? Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought. I totally had a brain fart.
Well, I don't want to like shit on the Mandalorian trailer, but my excitement level is about eight for the Mandalorian.
Good, yeah.
And that's only because I'm spoiled by being able to binge watch things.
Yeah,
and I know that the Mandalorian. And
this first episode's the runtime for this first episode's come out. I think it's not even 50 minutes. I think it's like a hot 30.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm not like higher on the anticipation level. Because I know, like, I'm going to watch one and have to wait again.
No.
But I'm very curious to see where they go.
Okay.
With this, yeah.
I know what's already running away with everything is The Last of Us. And Joey's behind in episodes.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you're going to do this review, Tarek, where we're at right now.
Listen, this is a, if you watch the last one, you know, like one of the main characters, Joel's in peril. Mm-hmm. And this episode is a flashback episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, it goes back and forth in time kind of a little bit, but it's really a flashback episode where we get to learn a lot more about the character. I believe her name is Bella.
All right.
I'm going to look that up and not be disrespectful to this actress who was Little Lady Mormont. I always call her Little Lady Mormont because she was on Game of Thrones. And that I know that's not. Yeah, Bella. Well, actually, Bella Ramsey is the character, is the actress. The character's name is Ellie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a flashback episode of her and, you know, one of her friends and her background and how she was being trained and how she feels about the, I can't think of the name of the group of, the group of rebels that are like, you know,
Fireflies.
The Fireflies, how she feels about the Fireflies and, you know, how she's kind of an outsider and it's kind of like that. And, you know, not a big spoiler, but you learn how she gets infected, you know, and it's a great insight into that character's mind, which before you only see this one side of her, like this little snotty teenager who kind of been through some stuff clearly. But, you know, and as we saw in the previous episode, she's like, everyone leaves me. You understand where that comes from in this after this episode.
Okay.
But man. This shit will listen. I'm a grown. I'm a little man thug tier.
Yeah,
almost came out. I was like, man, get one of those.
Thug cry.
Thug cry.
Must be this original on this pizza. Got me.
choking up.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I can't. All this stuff on HBO, we can't talk about on this show because it's not like the realm we should talk about.
Their
original programming is, I mean, it's legendary, top notch, man. Between Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. about how it ended, and House of the Dragon, and this one, and even White Lotus, which is, you know, not science fiction, but, you know, fiction definitely. They're knocking it out of the park. I know a lot of people probably haven't watched Station 11, which is based off a graphic novel, which I recommend people watch on HBO also. That's a good one. That's an apocalyptic tale. No zombies in that one.
Okay.
Just a virus, but Station 11 is a great one. I wouldn't tell anybody to go watch oh my God, what's it called? The one where everybody disappears. I can't think of the name of the show. Leftovers. The Leftovers. Mm. Science fiction show. That's when that one gets a little weird.
Okay. That one gets like a little biblical and stuff?
That one gets, it gets a little weird and strange. But Last of Us is hitting out of the park, and I haven't played the video game. You know, I've never played the video game. I just know they're like, it's massively compelling and
top tier drama. There you go.
Top tier drama, science fiction. The way they do the creatures, I don't know who's doing the makeup. I don't know if it's industrial light magic, but whoever's doing these creatures, it's great. It's top tier.
Wow.
And it's compelling. It's compelling every time. And I like that they cast people that were in the video game. They cast them in the show.
That's nice.
So when that's you watch great. This, like a lot of people that were like, oh, I played that character on the video game, they play them in the show. So I think that's
yeah.
So definitely check out Last of Us. I will understand if you decide to binge it all, like wait for it to all finish and then binge it all.
I think
I could see that.
I think that's
Sweeney, don't you punk out on us and not watch it because it's depressing. Yeah.
I'll eventually need to get depressed and watch it again. There you go.
As Macho Man once said, be a man, Hogan.
Oh, man. Well, we're getting to near the end of the show, but I know there's some rumor stuff and MCU stuff that we didn't quite touch yet, Joey. I know there's a casting a casting description for Fantastic Four for Sue Storm? Or
yeah,
what else is going on in the MCU
I think we were talking about last week how Marvel wants to cast Sue Storm before they cast the rest of the Fantastic Four, and apparently they're looking for a Dakota Johnson type. Whatever that means. I never understand, like, I mean, Tarek, I mean, you've gone for auditions. It's like, how do you take that? Like, okay, I need somebody that's like Dakota Johnson, but why don't you just get Dakota Johnson?
Somebody like a Dakota Johnson may not feel the need to do it, you know? She may feel the need to, like, oh, I only do the projects I want to do. Jonathan Majors came under some criticism for saying, like, yeah, you know, these Marvel films are just, like, fun things to do, but they're not serious. Like, and he publicly said that, and I was like, yo, don't say that before the film comes out.
Wow.
And then you see it, and it's like, oh, well, he killed that, you know? Christian Bale has said that. He's like, oh, the comic book movies are just, you know, you do that for money.
not lying.
Cut the check.
Yeah. So, a lot of people say that. A lot of these actors say that. You know, and those people at that level, if you're playing Sue Storm, you're probably at a level where you're like, okay, I could turn down that role and do three in that same amount of period, do three Oscar nominated or SAG nominated or Golden Globe nominated films. You know, where I don't have to do as much. Don Cheadle said one of the big hurdles for him was, like, they came to him and said, hey, can you do 8 films over 10 years? And it's like, yo, do I want to commit to doing that many films? And, you know, he eventually did it. So that's the reason that they say, and it works for breakdowns. Like, as an actor, you get stuff and they say, because there's energies. Like, when you're acting, there's, like, natural energies. Like, we have this dynamic on this show, and all three of us are nerds. Yeah. You know, like you were saying earlier, Joey, like, we're all nerds, but from different perspectives. You got some DJs, I'm a comedian, you know what I mean? So you have different energies, and it's like, well, we're looking for this energy. I can understand why they would say that, because it helps agents and casting directors and other people figure out who they're going to get for it. I don't know if Dakota Johnson is a distinct enough personality to say, like, we want that type, but I get it. You know, the question is, like, are you going to be, like, who can be blonde? Does Sue Storm have to be blonde?
That's true.
Are people going to be mad if she's not blonde? I don't think anybody was mad at Chris Evans as Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Or that he wasn't completely blonde as Steve Rogers.
I don't think
Rogers.
People were mad that Michael B. Jordan was Johnny Storm. I think they're just mad at the movie.
They were just mad at the movie.
That movie was just bad.
Yeah. I still to this day have not watched it yet.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Interesting
it pops
enough,
up on my recommendations.
They can't get Dakota Johnson because she's doing Madam Web.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Which I think she would make a better Madam Web than a Sue Storm, to be honest.
I think
so. Yeah, I think so, too. I can see that.
Ironically, Scarlett Johansson would make a great Sue Storm, but...
Too late. Tough break.
Yeah, that's already done, yeah.
Maybe in the multiverse somewhere.
Yeah.
We got Shang-Chi news. So Shang-Chi 2 is going to be in production, or it's on the production schedule for Marvel. Mm-hmm. And it's said to have, if not one, but multiple Kang variants in the movie. Okay. How does that fit in the grand scale of things? And do we think that the Ten Rings have something to do with it? Is the question.
Man, the more and more I delve into Kang, the more I kind of respect him as a villain. Man, I really like Shang-Chi to be like a last minute addition to the whole multiverse thing. You know, but that's fine if we see multiple variations of him. I just think I just Going back to like what's going on with Marvel and what's the problem, I think that like they had these big stars who were in these big roles for big characters, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to go back to relying on their stars, and now they have to rebuild stars. Like, who's going to be the star? You know, I think Benedict Cumberbatch is a, you know, is Doctor Strange, of course,
right.
is a star. But I think Simu Liu, I think he's a, I think he's has great potential to be a star, like, in the Marvel universe. So, I'm very excited about that one.
Here's a hot theory that I've been thinking about. Because we remember we talked about that Spider-Man was probably possibly looking at him to be the leader in the
Avengers.
The Avengers movie. So that got me thinking. I was like, who has as many variants? The amount of variants that Kang would.
I would say the multiverse.
In the multiverse, who has the most variants? Amount of variants like Kang does, the way he was presented in A Quantumania, spoiler alert, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Spider-Man?
Spider-Verse.
The Spider-Verse, if you look at that into the Spider-Verse, even the last animated show, but the animated movie that's coming up soon. I mean, so many multiple versions of Spider-Man. No other character has been introduced besides Kang, with so many variants, you know?
Well,
we assume, okay, yeah, every person has multiple variants of themselves. Okay, yeah, sure. Maybe not as many, you know, or not as varied, not as powerful, you know? Here's another hot theory I have. Maybe Spider-Man is all, what do they call those characters? Like, Scarlet Witch?
Scarlet Spider?
Nexus. Maybe Nexus. Spider-Man is a Nexus creature.
Or what if he was bit by a Nexus creature?
Maybe the spider totem is a Nexus creature. And a radioactive spider bites of somebody, woman, female, whatever, in every universe. There has to be a spider person in every universe.
That's insane.
That's the rule of the multiverse.
I like that theory a lot. That's a hot theory. And it makes sense you saying that because it said that Tom Holland's a live action version of Tom Holland is going to appear in Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, it would go along with, and I've heard some rumors that like they're going to try to mimic the Spider-Man animated series with Madame Web and like that Secret Invasion storyline. Where she was like, well, there's a Spider-Man in every, you know, world.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of comic book nerds want to see Spider-Man 2099 and, like, Scarlet Spider and, you know, all these other ones.
There's a bunch. There's Cosmic Spider. There's a bunch.
Spider-Gwen. Spider-Pig.
So many.
They got to have Spider-Gwen somewhere. I mean.
There's one that has the quantum bands. I mean, you know, it's almost as powerful as a Captain Marvel. You know?
Yeah, there's one. Remember, there's one that's like has a spider suit. It's like the one that's like Iron Man.
Yeah, that too. A bunch.
And word is that Spider-Man 4 will begin filming in the fall.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Thank God, Uncharted didn't do well. That's all we're getting.
Yeah, Tom Holland.
Put me down for more Spider-Man movies. Out. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Been thinking.
That contract for Spider-Man 4, 5, and 6 still up?
That's still available? We're going to call those Spider-Man movies back.
Tell Kevin I'll be there.
I like that character.
Tell Kevin meet me for lunch.
Yeah, I like that character. We could do it again.
I realize that dollars don't translate into pounds the way I thought they did.
Yeah, that's funny.
So going back to Shang-Chi 2, apparently it's going to be a time travel movie. It's looking like it might be a time travel movie.
I am not a fan.
I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of multiverse time traveling.
I'm in the wait and see group. So
what if Wenwu, the Mandarin, took those 10 rings from Kang.
Oh.
When Kang was trying to conquer Rama Tut Kang or whatever Kang was, you know, because, you know, like Nathaniel Rich's whole, like Kang's whole backstory is he in a 30 chance time travel and went back in time and conquered all these different parts of like he was just, you know, just time traveling and then just decided to conquer, you know, places that he visited.
Right.
Yeah. That would be great. Here's my theory. I'm giving myself license to present this theory, because only because it's what I want. The Rama Tut King, the Egyptian one, because they at the end of Ant-Man, the Quantumania, spoiler alert, everyone again, they say like, well, they're a threat. They know about the multiverse, so they're now a threat. I'm liking to imagine that, like, we got to eliminate those threats everywhere they go. Like, meaning, we got to distract them. So Kang goes back, which is, happens in the comic books, to the Egyptian times. And he introduces mutants. He encounters Apocalypse. He has all this technology. And that's where Apocalypse gets all that technology stuff from. And he kind of gets overpowered by Apocalypse a little bit. And mutants begin to spread secretly throughout the world. And in this multiverse world, he brings in the idea of mutants in order to combat, you know, people in other universes. Because that's my idea for Kang, is that they're all taking different splinters of multiverses and building them in their armies. As you can see in Quantumania, he clearly built an army. He said, I'm bringing this army,
right,
you know, outside the quantum realm to fight.
Right.
Imagine that Kang being like, I'll bring an army of mutants. And it goes along with Apocalypse's thinking of like, only the best, only the strongest. That's what I want to happen. I'm not saying
that. But what if that ties in to the X-Men being introduced into Secret Wars?
That's what I'm thinking and hoping also.
But also, what I find it weird is the fact that, you know, Oscar Isaac plays Moon Knight in a movie. So how is that? Well, I mean, he could technically do both. I couldn't even recognize him.
Yeah,
I think they'll recast that. I don't think they'll run the.
Yeah, they'll probably recast him because I didn't recognize it was Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, yeah.
But that'd be nuts. That would be nuts, and that would be a nice little intro to how the X-Men get explained into the MCU through Secret Wars because of Rama Tut and what you just said. That's dope.
And then in Secret Wars, no one wants their universe destroyed completely. So it's kind of like, okay, what's the best option here? And someone has to get, I don't know if it's going to be the Beyonder's power or whoever's power it is. Someone has to get that power and unite the universes. Look like he who remains. That's what he wanted. He's like, we gotta get rid of all these multiverses.
Yeah, and I think in the next Loki show they're gonna start touching on the Beyonder stuff.
Yeah, that to me is the best thing to get the mutants in there, to get the Fantastic Four in there. If you have Secret Wars, if you unite these universes and say, okay, we're gonna do this one right now, and that's that. And then it's still splintered later on, years and years, like when we're all Speedy's age.
oh, stop. You're like 2 years younger than me.
I know. But I had to acknowledge. Years and years later, then you have, it's still splinters, you know. And that's when you start introducing like Cable and Bishop and all these other time travelers and stuff like that. And later on, that's how the Marvel Universe, the MCU, that's how it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion. I'm pulling a Joey franchise here where I'm bringing up a good idea. It's my first one probably on the whole show.
Oh, man. I think we hit everything we want to talk about today, unless I'm forgetting something.
No, I think we're all good.
All right. Cool, man. Cool. Of course, thank you as always for hanging out.
My bad. I did see the movie Megan last night. I enjoyed it. I thought it was
good. Really?
Yeah. I got to watch that.
It was everything that new Chucky movie.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's sign off, man. My name is, follow me on the Instagram at DJ Speedy JR, all the socials. Don't forget, we're going to be changing the name of the YouTube and the Facebook page soon. But Geek Culture Congress will still go down every Monday, 8:30 p.m. Tarek, let me know how they can follow you, sir.
My name is Tarek on Instagram and also on YouTube. And be on the lookout, Outer Banks Season 3, Episode 7.
Love it. Let them know how they can follow you, Mr. Joey Franchise.
Follow me on the gram, on Twitter, Twitch, at Joey Franchise. And tap in also with my podcast, Franchise on Film. We dive in deeper into some of the Marvel, DC, and pop culture, movies, TV shows, at Franchise on Film, Twitter, Instagram. Look out.
All right. Hey, guys, have a good one. And we will see you back here. Make sure, if you want to follow the audio version of this podcast, by all means, look up Geek Culture Congress Podcast and give it a subscribe on your favorite podcast platform that you like to listen to your stuff at. And you can follow the audio versions of these and much, much more interviews and stuff like that that I do for the Geek Culture Congress. Guys, have a good one. Have a good rest of your week. Make sure you check out that Mandalorian on March 1st, and we'll be back to talk about that and much, much more Monday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys have a good one, everybody. Be safe.
Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.